This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. When you think of a racetrack, you probably picture a smoothly paved oval with pit crew standing by and bleachers rising up on all sides. But at Utah's Bonneville Speedway, the world's fastest vehicles compete without stands or pavement, zooming across a desert of bone-white salt at hundreds of miles per hour. Racers have attempted to break land speed records at the Bonneville Salt Flat since 1914. Today, every imaginable form of vehicle gets tested out on those salt beds at annual events like the World of Speed and Speed Week. Well, we wanted to hear more about this amazing outdoor track, so we're joined now by Dennis Sullivan. He's president of the Utah Salt Flats Racing Association. And Dennis, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much.
So describe the flats for us. How do they look right now in winter?
In winter, they're completely covered with water. That's how the salt cures itself after its use and the cars going across it. So Mother Nature covers it with water. The water puts the salt in solution and smooths it out for us.
So they can't use it right now for racing, can they?
No. We have to wait until in the spring, and then we watch it to see. As the water goes away, then we start looking for tracks. And depending on what kind of a spring we have, it depends on how late in the year we can get on the salt to start looking for something.
So how much area are they? How big is the salt flats?
The salt flats are about 90,000 acres.
Wow. So what's it like to drive on salt? Is it different than on pavement?
Oh, yes, it's a lot different. It feels similar to being on the snow. It is slippery. If you step on the gas real fast, the tires will spin. You can turn real sharp and the car will slide. It's very much like being on snow, but then again, when it finally gets dry and hard, it can be as hard as concrete, but it still has a small granular surface on it that does give you a little bit of slickness.
Well, that to me sounds like you slow down. What makes it good for racing?
It is one of the flattest places on the earth, and when you're there, you can actually see the curvature of the earth.
Wow.
The expanse is so large that if something does happen, there's nothing to hit. You can't hit a wall or a pole or anything like that you would on a conventional asphalt type track. The salt has a cooling effect on the tires. So when you get tires that are spinning up in excess of 400 miles an hour, you don't have the heat build up. That's one of the things that's really important for cars that are traveling that fast and that distance.
So are you a racer yourself?
Yes, I am. I hold a national record.
What's your record?
I have a 1927 Model T with a 120 cubic inch 4-cylinder engine that's naturally aspirated, and we hold the record at 143 miles an hour.
Wowie. Well, what are some of the other notable records that have been broken or made at the Salt Flats?
All of our vehicles are wheel driven. There is a segment of cars that are thrust powered, have jets and rockets, but we deal with mainly wheel powered. The wheels actually have to move the car vehicle. The current wheel-driven record is 458 miles an hour, held by Don Vesco in a car called the Turbinator.
So, but all sorts of vehicles. I watch videos of bicycles racing, motorcycles racing. What are some of those records?
This last September, we had a wonderful lady named Denise Mueller that came out with a bicycle to try to become the world's fastest person with a bicycle. She ended up being the fastest lady on a bicycle, and so she's planning, I've been in contact with her, and she's planning on coming back this coming September to try to go for the fastest person on a bicycle, which will be exceeding 160 miles an hour.
Wow, 160 miles an hour. And I'm seeing her motorcycle, 367.382 miles an hour. My God. Do people get hurt doing this?
You know, racing is inherently a dangerous sport. And yes, people have been hurt and people have lost their lives. But everything we can do, we do to make things safety. People have to wear fire suits, helmets, neck and head restraints, arm restraints, so that if something does happen, their arms can't get out in the open. Every vehicle must have an onboard fire extinguisher. Depending on how fast you go, you have to carry more and more agent. Anything over 175 miles an hour has to have a parachute. Then when you get up to the next level, you have to have two parachutes. And if you go fast enough, you have to have three parachutes. We use special tires. We do everything we can. All the vehicles are safety inspected prior to ever being able to run to make sure that they are safe. They meet all the safety requirements, welds, tires, safety equipment. So, and unfortunately, most every rule that we have for safety was at one time written in blood because something happened to someone.
I'm speaking with Dennis Sullivan. He's president of the Utah Salt Flats Racing Association. And we're talking about the unique environment at the Bonneville Racetrack. That's where land and speed records have been set and broken for years. And cars, trucks, bicycles, motorcycles, all kinds of vehicles. How about damage to the environment?
You know, once, and we mark the course with a dye. It's the same dye that they use to detect leaks in drinking water systems, so it's safe dye. And then during the winter when it's underwater, all of that stuff disappears and it's absorbed. So as far as the environment goes, there is no vegetation out there. There is no bugs out there. There is no animals out there. And when we leave, you can't tell we have ever been on the salt.
So some events have been canceled in recent years, and I read that it's because the salt crust has actually been thinning. What's going on?
What's happening is we started racing in 1914. In 1917, because of the First World War, and the potash supply from Europe was cut off, they started mining for potash out in this area. Potash makes up less than 3% of the volume of minerals that are taken off the salt flats. And consequently, from prior studies and when John Campbell and Captain Easton came over in the 30s and 40s, tests were done because Bridgestone Tire Company was worried about it. We know that then the salt was anywhere from 11 inches to 18 inches thick. Another study was just done in September. The thickest salt they found was 2 inches thick, and the thinnest was a 16th of an inch. We're getting to the point that we do not have enough distance, and we don't have good enough salt to be safe. There was a time when we had 13 and 15 miles of racetrack. Now if we get 7 or 8, we're excited.
Let me ask you, Dennis, so given that there has been some degradation of the salt surface, do you fear for the future of the Bonneville Salt Flats as a racetrack?
Yes, we do. And it's not just the racers. There's so much more that goes on out there. Probably half of your car commercials are filmed out there. Movies like Independence Day, Pirates of the Caribbean, World's Fastest Indian are all filmed out there. There's the Longbow Archery World Championships are held out there. Wedding photos, calendar photos. It's a unique place that people come and look at. And yes, we are fearful, but we do think that there is a solution to this. If we take this excess salt that's sitting on the south side and we're able to put it back on the north side, we feel that there is a future for the Bonneville Salt Flats, and we can continue to make it grow back to the way it was in the 60s and 70s, that we can get the salt back that we need to help us have cars. We have cars right now that are capable of 500 miles an hour, but we have no place for them to run.
Dennis Sullivan, president of the Utah Salt Flats Racing Association, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome, and I'm glad to give you any information I can about a place that we truly love, and we want to see people continue to be able to race on it and come and watch the racers for 100 years more.
Well, we will send people to our website for more information. That's wordofmouthradio.org.